I'm Oprah Winfrey. Welcome to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. I believe that one of the most valuable gifts you can give yourself is time. Taking time to be more fully present. Your journey to become more inspired and connected to the deeper world around us starts right now. Welcome to Oprah's 2020 Visionary Talks. From the stage of my own 2020 Vision, Your Life in Focus Tour, WW Weight Watchers Reimagine, and I join forces to bring you candid conversations with some of the world's most famous trailblazers, whose story of wellness will empower you to discover the highest, truest vision for your life. I love the quiet. So when I heard about this brilliant idea called The Big Quiet, I knew we had to bring it to our stage. Jesse Israel is a guy who has created a movement by bringing together people in some of the most iconic places in the world. Madison Square Garden, One World Trade Center, Chicago's Natural History Museum. Thousands are showing up just to be still together. And we're gonna do that here in the BB&T Center. Please welcome Jesse Israel.
In about 10 minutes, we are going to experience a mass meditation. 15,000 people in total quiet. It's one of the most profound yet simple experiences that we can share together as human beings. But before we get quiet, let's talk about noise. Today, we live noisy lives. From the second we wake up to the sound of our alarms, we're processing a nonstop stream of input and information. Text messages, social media updates, likes, growing inboxes, news, politics, podcasts, an infinite assortment of Netflix offerings. And that little red dot on your app icon that seems to never go away. So we're told to work harder, to achieve more, to move up, to not fall behind, to hustle, to be better parents, better kids, better partners, better students, better employees. We live in a culture that celebrates moreness. It glorifies being busy, and we're expected to be doing always. And for many of us, this constant noise is exhausting. And the burnout rate amongst U.S. adults is currently considered to be a modern phenomenon. But it wasn't always like this. For the great majority of our time on Earth as a human species, we lived in quieter times, in tribes. In fact, the amount of information that our tribal ancestors would process in an entire lifetime is equivalent to the amount of information and input that we process in one single day today. That's a lot of noise. And the burden that it's creating on our bodies and on our minds is real. So by a show of hands, who's heard of the fight or flight response? A lot of people know it. So fight or flight is a reaction in our bodies that occurs in response to a perceived attack or threat of survival. Now, when we're actually under attack, fight or flight is critical. So to best understand how this works, let's take a look back again when we were hunters and gatherers living in tribes. And let's say that you were a member of the tribe headed out to hunt for the day's meal, and on the path, you encountered a saber-toothed tiger. Your fight-or-flight response would turn on instantly. Cortisol would start to pump through your veins, issuing an emergency warning to the entire body, enhancing the sensation of stress. The digestive system and reproductive system would shut off completely, preserving energy for means of survival. Your arteries would narrow. Blood would thicken, so if you got bit by the tiger, you'd bleed less. Your muscles would tense up so you could use your bursts of strength to fight or to flee. When faced with a human-hungry predator, like a saber-toothed tiger, the fight-or-flight response is incredibly helpful in keeping us alive. Now, jump forward to today, In a short period of time, where most humans don't exist in tribes, in the modern world around us, things have changed drastically fast. Yet our bodies are still operating in the same way that they did when we were hunters and gatherers. So, when you get that aggressive email from a colleague and get that fiery feeling in your stomach, it's fight or flight. When you're sitting in traffic and a car is just blowing its horn at you, you feel your blood start to boil, it's fight or flight. And when you have that argument with your partner about the Amazon groceries delivery, and the next thing you know, you're yelling at each other, it's fight or flight. And although these situations are obviously not life-threatening, the biological systems in our body have not evolved fast enough to tell the difference between a rude email and a tiger that's ready to have you for lunch. So living in a modern city or suburb, we can experience dozens of these triggers in a single day. And because it takes our body's metabolisms about 90 minutes to return to normal once the fight or flight response is over, for many of us, our nervous systems are in a constant state of fight or flight. So it's no surprise today that 90% of doctor visits are related to stress. Insomnia has become an epidemic, and mental health levels are at an all-time low in our country. Often it feels like things are only getting more intense. Things are getting louder. But we're not helpless. Each and every one of us has the power to do something about it, to practice quiet. In my former career, worked in the music industry, I found myself having panic attacks and experiencing debilitating anxiety regularly. I learned about meditation, began a daily practice of quiet, and things got better fast. And as I looked into the research and science behind what was happening, I learned that practicing meditation turns off the fight or flight response. It switches on something called the relaxation response. It's also known as the parasympathetic nervous system. And this occurs as a result of the deep rest that meditation provides the mind and the body. So when our bodies shift into this relaxation response, we experience the opposite physiological changes of what's happened in fight or flight. So instead, our arteries dilate, blood flows more fluidly, dopamine and serotonin, which are the chemicals that allow us to feel a sense of happiness and well-being, pumps through our veins. Our digestive and reproductive systems strengthen, our muscles loosen up. And as a result of a daily meditation practice, the nervous system operates in balance. The immune system strengthens, we sleep better, often looking and feeling younger. Instead of reacting stressfully to situations, we become thoughtfully responsive. And parts of the brain light up and thicken, allowing us to be more clear, present, compassionate, creative, powerful. We form a deeper connection to ourselves, which allows us to more meaningfully and confidently connect with others. And from this place, we can be the best of who we really are, not only so we can feel good, but so we can contribute to the world around us in a way that is fulfilling and impactful. And it's not only meditation that brings this type of value to our lives. There are other quiet practices that anyone can do that are also incredibly beneficial, like creating blocks of phone-free time. Give yourself permission to just rest and take it easy. It's my personal favorite. Setting boundaries with others that allow you to take the space you need for yourself. And simply by practicing these things, you're granting permission to others to do the same. Your families, your partners, your friends, your coworkers, they'll see you doing this. It only takes one person to say, hey, I'm doing it differently, for other people to take notice and to start to make a change in their own lives. It creates a ripple. In my opinion, it's a form of leadership. And having been through my own experiences with mental health and noise overload, I've been so moved by the power of quiet that I left my career in the music industry to spread this stuff to the masses, to gather people to share in meditation and community, and to speak about and teach these practices. What I've come to learn is that the truth is it takes courage to be quiet. It requires bravery to say, no, thank you, in the face of a society that says, yes, 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 more, more, more. And the more we do it differently, the more we can shift culture away from this idea that resting is lazy. It's not something to feel ashamed about. It's not something to feel guilty about. It's something to own. So if there's anything that I hope you'll take away from today, it's that you are worthy of quiet. You deserve rest. So as we move into our meditation this morning, take permission to celebrate yourself just as you are in this beautiful moment of quiet. Thank you. So now we're going to experience our mass meditation together. It's going to be a large-scale moment of quiet. And Jackie Cantwell from the Big Quiet will be playing the sound bowls. And these are instruments that emit a frequency that allow the mind and the body to settle. And I'll guide you through a simple mindfulness meditation practice. So for those of you that have never meditated before, you're in good hands. And before we begin, I want to address a common misconception when it comes to meditation. I often hear people say, meditation is not for me, my brain always wanders. And what I want to make clear is that it's okay if your mind wanders. This is how our brains work. It's totally natural. Know that you're still experiencing the benefits that we just discussed. When you find that your mind has wandered, just lovingly, gently bring your attention back to my voice, to the sound of the bowls. Be easy with yourself and let this be a process. The other thing that I'll say is we are doing this with 15,000 people in a sold-out arena. Not only is that pretty incredible, but there's a lot of bodies in here. So if we hear a cell phone go off, if we hear people cough or sneeze, we're going to welcome those sounds into our practice today. So to begin, I'd like for you to sit comfortably in your seat. Allow your feet to rest on the floor. You can put your hands in your lap or on your thighs, whatever feels most comfortable to you. Making sure that your back is resting against the cushion. And as we start to settle into quiet, you can begin to close your eyes. And you'll start to hear the sound of the sound bowls fill into the arena. Just take a moment to listen to the sound, to notice how it feels in your body. Moving into our mindfulness practice, bring your attention to your feet. Notice the sensation of the skin of your feet against your socks or your shoes. Move your attention past your shins to your knees. Noticing your thighs, noticing your hips, allow gravity to pull you down into your seat, notice the weight of your body in your chair. Noticing your lower back, middle back. Noticing your shoulders. Noticing where your neck meets your shoulders, allowing yourself to release any tension you may be feeling there. Moving your attention up the back of your neck to the top of your head. And now noticing your jaw. Noticing noticing your lips. See if you can notice the weight of your tongue in your mouth. Bringing your attention to your nose. Notice the air very gently moving in and out of your nostrils or your mouth while you breathe. Noticing your chest just very gently rising and falling as you breathe in your own natural rhythm. Without forcing or controlling your breath, just noticing how your chest pulses. Noticing your heart. Notice any sensations or emotions you may be feeling in your heart. And if anything is coming up for you, just allow yourself to feel it. Just be with whatever emotions may be there. Noticing the sensations in your heart, simultaneously notice your breath. Noticing your breath and your heart together as the sound bowls carry us. Like I mentioned earlier, if you find that your mind is wandering, it's totally natural. You notice that your mind has wandered. Very gently bring your attention back to the sound of the bowls. Being easy with yourself as we take a moment of quiet as the bowls fill the space. As you continue to keep your eyes closed, as the bowls fade out, we're gonna take 60 seconds of total silence in the arena. Taking a moment to just soak up how incredibly rare this is to be in a sold-out arena, 15,000 people, in complete stillness and silence. And while we continue to keep the eyes closed, we end the practice. by thinking about someone that you love. This could be someone that's alive, someone that's passed away. Think about this person, see this person, see them smiling, and send this person your love, feeling into your heart opening. And now think about someone that you may be having a tough time with, you may be experiencing a challenge with. Imagine yourself giving this person a smile, even if that feels challenging. And send this person your love. And now yourself, thinking about an area in your life where you may be beating yourself up or tough on yourself, an area where you could bring more gentleness or compassion to your life. And send yourself love, feeling the sensations of self-love in your body. We take a final moment of gratitude for what we shared together today. We take a moment of gratitude for our bodies, for our ability to breathe, for the gift that is life. And in your own time, while remaining quiet, begin to very slowly open your eyes. And as you take your time to come back to the room, just start to look around at all the people that we're experiencing today with. Look at the people in front of you, behind you, up top, down below. See this group full of 15,000 people that got to share this together, that are now going to bring this goodness that we created here today into the rest of the day, into the rest of the programming, and then into our evenings, sharing this with the people that we love, and remembering that we are all in this together. Thank you, everybody, for meditating. Jackie Cantwell.
Jesse, that was great. So I wanted to ask you, that was just 1 minute. Didn't y'all think that was pretty powerful? You know, I do this alone under my oaks every morning, or I find some space to do it. And if it's only 1 minute, I find the longer I can spend in the silence, the better it gets. Why is that, Jesse?
I think that, like I mentioned in my talk, it's so rare that we have these moments without distractions. So when we create the space to give ourselves that and finally have it, it feels good. The body wants it. And I think that's just the body saying, thank you, I want more of this.
You know what I love when you said at the very beginning? You deserve rest. And I think so many people in here, you do so much for so many other people. I mean, this is the story of all women people, is that we're giving, 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 and some cool men too. But this is the story of our lives, is that we're giving, 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 always, always thinking of other people. And I think part of the reason why people don't take the time is they don't really think they are worthy of the rest. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that societally we have a concept that we need to be always taking care of other people, doing other things, which is great, but what winds up happening is I think people start to feel guilty or a sense of shame around taking care of themselves. But the truth is, and I think a lot of people here know this, we can't really show up for other people if we're not taking care of ourselves.
How did you go from a person who was feeling anxiety all the time in the music industry and then being able to find this for yourself? I mean, this is a long way from like compulsive anxiety to here, to the quiet.
It's interesting. I had a fear of public speaking. When I was in college, I couldn't
sleep.
How's
15,000 people for you?
If I had to give a presence, thank you.
I think you're over the fear. Yes.
This stuff has helped. I'll put it that way.
So you had the fear in college, but the anxiety, how do you go from being a really anxious, compulsive person to this?
couple things. The first has been having practices where I can just cultivate the self, like meditation, like eating clean, like movement, exercise.
Yeah.
Taking care of myself first and foremost has been a really big part of that. But the second piece, this may be the most important piece, has been for me to just be accepting of the fact that I feel anxiety sometimes. Even when I lead 15,000 person mass meditations, I still feel anxiety, I still get stressed, I still feel depressed sometimes. And when I'm able to accept that and almost love that as part of who I am, it melts. So it's been a blend of these practices that have allowed me to feel better in life.
You know what I love about this, and this is when you leave here today as your 2020 vision statement for yourself, just know that you're worth a minute. Just to know that you're worth a minute of rest in the day. Could you do that? Could you give yourself a minute? Just a minute. Thank you so much, Jesse Israel.
Thank you so much.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to Super Soul Conversations, the podcast. You can follow Super Soul on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Super Soul Conversation. Thank you for listening.